Today, our scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 66. But before we get to that, if you would pray with me today. God of the universe, make our hearts porous. Open our eyes as if it were for the first time, so that we might see your world with awe and wonder once again. We often approach scripture with an analytical lens, intellectualizing the stories heard, bringing historical context and textual criticism to the table. But for just a moment, pause those instincts in us to make room for wonder. Help us to greet this biblical text with awe and gratitude before we begin dissecting it for truth. For I am confident that in doing so, we will not only find you in the hallways of our thoughts, but in the pathways of our hearts. With gratitude, we pray. Keep us open, O Lord. Amen. Now, if you'd read with me, Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 66. And I'm going to read out of the NRSV translation. Now, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be named John." And they said to her, "Well, none of your relatives have this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what the name he wanted to give the child. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and Zechariah began to speak, praising God. And fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The adjective for awe-inspiring is defined as describing something that arouses awe through being impressive, formidable, magnificent. Awe-inspiring, or the feeling of awe, is described as feeling reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. So synonyms for such words of awe-inspiring includes mind-boggling, spectacular, astonishing, breathtaking, extraordinary, amazeballs, as Google has told me, and incredible. So what do you find awe-inspiring? Or let me rephrase the question, what gives you goosebumps? What makes you stand in awe, invoking maybe a sense of fear, but also a sense of wonder? And if we were on Family Feud, I'd imagine one of the top survey answers would be the Grand Canyon. Slide. Like this beautiful picture of the Grand Canyon made over time, causing us to wonder, how could something so beautiful happen? Or if it's not the Grand Canyon, maybe it's Memorial Stadium on a Saturday. Not for all of us, but for many of you, I understand. Or maybe it's Chimney Rock, Nebraska staple at dusk. Or maybe it's Lake Atitlan in Guatemala between these different volcanoes said to have creatures at the bottom so boats do not go over the lake at night. Maybe it's the stars of Big Bend National Park in South Texas where you can see stars and the galaxy so clearly. But if that's too far away, what about this? The picture from a Hubble telescope image, this is the cosmic reef taken by the Hubble telescope. Now, if that doesn't work for you, maybe it's something personal, like three adorable little cousins playing dress up. You have Maisie, Mayla, and Emmy there all together. Maybe it's something small like that. Or maybe it's something like youth gathering to worship before morning chapel at Camp Moses Merrill this summer, giving up their time and judgments of friends and social media and all kinds of things to rally together to feel the presence of the Lord. Or maybe it's something like a good sports story. This is one of the USA men's national team players, one of the older players at age 33, Austin. Tim Ream plays in the English Premier League and is walking out with an autistic fan and didn't want them to feel nervous or anxious for having to wear these sensory headphones. And so Tim puts them on and walks them out together so that they would feel in community. Or maybe it's something a little more grander of a place you've never been, like these falls in Iceland, where a rainbow was captured right over them on a very, very cold day. Or maybe it's something a little more casual, like this. This on the right is one of my favorite pictures during Christmas time. This is a cat seeing a Christmas tree for the first time. So his eyes are all big and you can see the lights in them. Or this is a famous meme. Memes are like funny pictures for those of you that are not on the internet. But this little boy opens up a gift and it's an avocado. And he says, oh, an avocado! And he's so excited. Or maybe it's a group of church members getting together to decorate for Christmas, fellowshipping, having breakfast, enjoying each other's company. Go to the last slide there. All of these photos inspire awe of some sort or give us goosebumps, and perhaps you have some this morning seeing those various photos or recalling different memories that are similar to you. Awe can bring us feelings of wonder and fear, as we have established. And in this Advent season, we are longing. We are waiting. We are striving towards the celebration of the birth of Christ. And it's in this time of preparation that we are being called to remember what inspires awe inside of us, what brings us excitement, what moves us, what motivates us to follow Christ. In this Advent season, we've been asking together, how does a weary world rejoice? And today we get the opportunity to look at the birth of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the child that was given to that old faithful couple that no one knew would be a part of God's bigger, grander, redemptive story. That this story before Jesus' birth is pointing us, it's preparing us, it's getting us excited for the birth of our Lord and Savior. So how then does a weary world rejoice this morning? Well, we allow ourselves to be amazed. We can identify awe-inspiring works of God in our lives, in the life of our world, bringing us out of weariness, even just for a moment, all leading to awe-inspiring moments of God emptying himself to enter into creation through the womb of a young and poor, unexpected girl in the ancient Near East. But in order to be amazed, we have to allow it. We have to allow ourselves to feel inspired, to feel amazed at these various stories. So today we pick up in Luke's gospel account. The themes are already really present by the first chapter. The outcast is being brought in as a part of the kingdom of God. The gospel writer, Luke is giving an account. He's setting the scene for these miraculous births, and John will come first to set up the birth of epic proportions of Christ, and inviting us to be a part of that story, to hear it new today. Jesus entered into the world humbly, challenging the assumptions of religious folk, combating the power of Rome, a world like ours that knew such weariness and heavy impositions of empire that didn't care about the people, or religious leaders that ruled out of fear and not abundance. Some would argue that the story of Christ is awe-inspiring, but that's for next week. Back to the narrative at hand. Elizabeth has been coming out of her 5 months of seclusion, which we talked about last week. Then she got to spend time with her cousin Mary, And now the last 4 months or so had gone by, and the time came for her to give birth. One of our commentators from A Sanctified Art imagines that Elizabeth got the chance to be amazed this whole time, that she spent 9 months being amazed, that she had experienced such a range of emotions, from infertility concerns to a mute husband to finding out that Mary was giving birth, her young cousin, through immaculate conception, but giving birth to who she called her Lord. And now the community gets to join in this amazement. It says that the neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had showed mercy to her, and they rejoiced alongside her. This verb for rejoiced signifies that it's not just ordinary praising, but it's communal rejoicing together. That it means to celebrate God's grace and to share in someone else's joy. Picture this community. They had said prayers on behalf of Zechariah and Elizabeth. You know, he was the priest after all. And the community finally hears about this exciting moment in the life of the people they loved, and they were able to see that this was God's divine intervention, that this rejoicing could lead to joy and happiness for the entire group. And maybe the way to be amazed about what's going on in the world is to be able and willing to rejoice with the people around you. If the community is weary, if it's feeling bogged down, then it's so easy to miss the opportunity to celebrate the small things of life, like a beautiful new Christmas tree for the sanctuary, or the fact that it's been heated in here and the bills are paid for this building. Or what about the different languages that echo in the hallways of this place of worship? And if we aren't paying attention, then we'll miss the invitation to allow ourselves to be amazed, to be inspired. We live in such a fast-pacedness of life. We have packed schedules, we skim the news on our phones, awe can pass us by. And if the community that Elizabeth lived in never celebrated the birth of Elizabeth's child, well, they wouldn't get the opportunity to support the older woman that had loved them, the righteous, wise wife of the priest that I'm sure showed up to every long wedding celebration and baby shower, the one that supported them when they graduated from Judea High and slipped them a 5 spot when they were the fastest during Bible drill. They wouldn't have returned the love that was given so freely to them by a woman that showed them God, maybe through puppets or Sunday school crafts. Elizabeth had experienced God's mercy, and everyone around her got to see it for themselves. And if that's not enough to inspire you or to inspire awe, we have to keep paying attention to the story. As custom had it, on the 8th day, the child was to be circumcised and named. There they tried to give him the name of his father, as tradition says, but Elizabeth speaks up. She had been paying attention. She interrupts and says, no, his name, my baby's name, will be John. And not taking her word for it, as per usual, because she was a woman and it wasn't tradition, they went and asked Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was not able to speak, but it seems from this story that he also couldn't hear either. It says that they motioned to him. Zechariah gets the writing of the tablet and he writes, "His name is John." A confirmation that Elizabeth had been in tune with the angel's promises, even if it was not spoken directly to her. Joseph Fitzmyer says that this breaking of family tradition is another sign of God's favor and mercy, not just to them, but to the entire people of Israel. The name John actually means God's favor, or God has been gracious, or Yahweh has shown favor. God was showing favor. God was being gracious in all of these things. God was inspiring awe as Mary's belly swelled, as Joseph had dreams and concerns, and then to this baby who was going to be named John. The forerunner, the one that prepares the way for the Lord. Verse 63 concludes, all of them, everyone there was amazed. Other translations render this as, to everyone's astonishment, to their surprise, they all marveled. They all wondered, or it was amazeballs. One commentator said that amazement is the balm for the weary. Researcher Dacher Keltner, director of the Greater Good Science Center and professor at UC Berkeley, studies the psychology or the science of awe. It's a new study, and in his research report, he said that there are actually tremendous health benefits from experiencing a sense of awe. That awe is crucial to our well-being, that it actually calms down our nervous system. And I'm guessing that's why you feel so calm when you look at those big mountains, or you look out at the sea and you just take a deep breath. It can also trigger the release of oxytocin, the love hormone that promotes trust and bonding. Researcher discovered that awe can also quiet negative talk. Awe is something that we can practice. His hope for this research was quoted by the New York Times, and he was talking about the age of social media, and he said, "We are at this cultural moment of narcissism and self-shame and criticism and entitlement and awe. Being awe-inspired gets us out of that, that it helps us to get out of our own heads and to realize that our place is actually in the larger context, in our communities," he explained. Perhaps awe can really be balm for the weariness. It can lead us into community with each other, and we, like the community that gathered around Zechariah and Elizabeth on that naming day, we can allow ourselves to be amazed. We can let God break down our barriers, enter into our lives. We can let ordinary miracles that seem familiar still inspire a great sense of awe, can inspire us to be people that are astonished that God is still at work in our lives, that God is still at work in a ministry that's over 154 years old, in the same location since 1888, that God has not forgotten or misplaced or displaced us, that our stories are still being written, and there's so much more to be told, all showing us that God has been gracious to created beings. So we can pay attention to awe. We can witness it in the testimony of other people. You can do it through meditation or prayer. You can be awe-inspired by doing something different as God calls us to. All of these were suggested by the researcher. However, with feelings of awe and wonder come feelings of fear. Remember, our original definition of awe-inspiring is reverent feelings mixed with fear and wonder. Fear seems to be a part of all of our experiences. As Zechariah's mouth was loosed, as his tongue began to find that old familiar cadence, he praises God. God's promises came to fruition. What the angel told him was true, and his wife stuck with him the entire time he was mute and, I'm sure, irritable and annoying and bothersome, as some husbands or spouses might be. That he rejoiced that God had done this for him, that it led the neighbors to be unsure of how to respond. Their rejoicing turned into questioning. Are you sure that's the right name? Turned into fear. Verse 65 says, "Fear came over all the neighbors, and all the things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea." Alan Culpepper says that fear and amazement is a typical response in Luke's gospel account whenever God's power is manifest. So just like in Luke chapter 5, 26, when Jesus heals a paralytic man, or in chapter 7 when he raises the son of a widow during his ministry, or in one of our most interesting texts in Luke, Luke 8, 37, fear comes when Jesus heals the Gerasene demoniac in the demonic powers go into the swine and the swine go off the hill. Fear at God's intervention. Amazement can bring fear because it challenges us to see ourselves. It shows us in a mirror that we are not the center of all things, that we aren't immune to aging and illness and injustice, that we aren't the most important thing or person in the room at times. And when we have to face this realization, it can fuel that fear. And that fear gives way to those voices and feelings in your head, the ones that try to say you're not enough, the ones that say no one cares about you, that you're not important, the ones that want no one to intercede. But instead of these fears whispering to you, awe can change that. The story of God breaking into time and space tells us that perfect love casts out fear. 1 John tells us that the opposite of fear is not bravery or courage or gall, but perfect love. 1 John 4:18 reads, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love." Or as the Message translation says, "There is no room in love for fear." Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. The crowd was fearful because it made them ask, well, what then will this child become? What's going to happen? Will they be a part of it? Will they be on the receiving end of God's intervention? They needed to experience awe because it combats fear. Even if fear is a natural part of experiences and processes, God can work with our fears and amaze us in the process, as he has done already so many times, like bringing people into our family of faith, like our partnerships with community organizations and other ministries that do good for our neighbors. Don't let fear keep you from experiencing awe or being inspired that there is more to do for the kingdom of God. As scripture says, the news spread throughout the entire hill country of Judea, and all who heard them pondered them. And they said, what then will this child become? For indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon him. Pondering is what Mary will also do later when the shepherds show up. But the crowd gets to ponder too. They have rejoiced, they've been amazed, they've been fearful, and now they are to think, to ponder, to consider what God might be saying, together and individually. The same invitation is extended to you and me. We can ponder the story of God's design falling into place. We can ponder the unexpected people that God invites to be a part of the story. We can ponder what is awe-inspiring to us and seek it out. We can allow ourselves to be amazed by God's small mercies and graciousness, a graciousness that not only led to the birth of Christ, to the ministry of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, and then to his resurrection. We can ponder that new life is possible for us, yes, even you, through the power of God. And as the Reverend Cecilia D. Armstrong wrote, God is able. There is truly a promise for the weary. We can ponder how we want to spend this week leading up to the celebration of Christmas. Surely, the Lord's hand was upon John's birth, but the hand of the Lord is also upon us. We can embrace the awe, embrace the goosebumps, embrace the mystery. Let wonder wash over you and acknowledge that fear can slide off your back. There is much for us to experience. There's much for us to hope for. Our God amazes us every day, whether we are weary or excited to get the holidays over with. May you allow ourselves to be amazed by our God today, tomorrow, and each day to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.